come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
In Matthew 24:15, Jesus said to his disciples, "The day is coming when you will see what Daniel the prophet spoke about. Whoever reads, let him understand." The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled Daniel, A Man of Purpose, Prayer, and Prophecy, a teaching through the historical and prophetic book of Daniel. More information is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/women's ministry.
Okay, are we ready for our memory verse? Praise the name of God forever and ever, for he has great wisdom and power. He controls the course of world events. He removes kings and sets up other kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the scholars. Daniel 2:20-21, NLT. Okay, we're going to do it again. Ready? Here we go. Praise the name of God forever and ever, for he has all wisdom and power. He controls the course of world events. He removes kings and sets up other kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the scholars. Daniel 2:20-21, NLT. Good job. Okay, now our theme song. Ready? Do you remember what it is? Dare to be a Daniel. Here we go. Dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to be a Christian. Dare to make it known, let's do it. Dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone. Dare to be a Christian, dare to make it known. Good job.
Yay. We are got it together today, right? Tonight, or whatever, what time it is. Yes, and so, I don't know about you guys, but it has been a couple of some days of hard times. I don't know about you, but it is just, it has been, yesterday particularly was a very hard day. And so I was reminded yesterday of some scriptures that the Lord gave to me. Now, when we talk about spiritual warfare, it's not to scare us. It's not to bring us to a place of, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? I'm in spiritual warfare. I don't know what to do. Okay, so it's going to happen. It's happening. Whether you believe in it or not, it's happening. All those things that are going on in your life, you go, oh, it's just this or it's just that. Honey, it is spiritual warfare going on in our lives. And we need to confront it just like God has told us to confront it. And so last Friday, the Lord gave me some verses to deal with this in my own life. And then I found out that these very verses were a part of the conference that was the next day, and they had used these very verses when it started. So we need to go, of course, to 2 Corinthians 10:4 through 6, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God to pulling down strongholds. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. Do you have some strongholds in your life, or do you know of a place that has some strongholds that need to be brought down, those things that just hold on? And for casting down arguments, you think those arguments are just stories. You think that it's just an argument. Sometimes those arguments are against God, and they need to be brought down. They are strongholds in our lives. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity. Oh, if we're going to experience this, we must bring our thoughts captive. We must bring our thoughts captive. And that moves us right on to Ephesians 6:12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, when these verses came to my mind, I was struggling over some things in the morning, Friday morning before I was coming for our prayer time. And by the way, if you're able to, 7 o'clock on Wednesday morning, 7 o'clock on Friday morning, we are gathered here in the cafe for a prayer time, and there is nothing like prayer. And you know what? These verses really tie together with our study. Daniel will be the one who will show us the importance of prayer, the importance of recognizing that there's spiritual warfare going on and dealing with that spiritual warfare and bringing other people into it with him to deal with the spiritual warfare so that they're fighting together, they're finding out the voice of the Lord together. And so, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven, has revealed this to you. Now, that was spoken by Jesus when he was talking to Simon Peter, who said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you. It was my Father that was in heaven that revealed it to you. And so my Father in heaven has also revealed to you the necessity of our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, and we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. You think that you really don't like somebody, or you really are in a place of people that you just... I don't know how to explain it, but do you know what I mean? People that you just are in conflict with constantly, and it's not the people. It's not me, and it's not them. It is that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And so we need to be aware of what's going on in that. Now, as we look at this chapter in Daniel, we need 5 weeks to cover this chapter. So we're not going to be able to cover all those things that you wanted to know. But most of it was covered in your homework. So, I don't have time to get to my homework, so I don't really know about that. You know what? We have time for whatever is important to us. And so God will always make time for you to invest with him. So ask him to help you with that, and he will help you with that. So, Lord Jesus, as we just get into your word, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for your direction. I pray for your anointing. I pray, Father, that you will just overwhelm this place. I thank you, Father, for your presence here. I thank you, Father, that you have sent your Holy Spirit to teach us tonight, to show us your way, to show us what you want us to see tonight, Lord. And we thank you and we praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. George Washington said, "Few men have the virtue to withstand the highest bidder," meaning that every man has his price, but Daniel did not have his price. Why did Daniel not have his price? Because he was a man of virtue. He was a man of whom no compromise was found. And that's what happens when we purpose in our hearts to follow after Christ. The gifts that were given to Daniel and his friends were to prepare him for the purpose of the preservation of God's people, so he could trust in God, knowing that he had purpose in his life. In this place that he was in. And so we start in, and the feeling is so different from this morning. I just have to say, the feeling is so, and I can't explain it, that the Lord speaks different things to the people in the morning than he does to the ladies in the evening. And it's just, you know, you try to duplicate things, you're saying some of the same words, but it's just not the same. It's completely different because God deals with us as individuals. He always deals with us as individuals. And so he brings out things at the night group that he doesn't bring out in the morning group, or he brings out things in the morning group that you guys don't ever know about. But God is in control of all of this. And so as we move into what was happening in this chapter 2 of the book of Daniel, and we know that Nebuchadnezzar, you've done your homework, so you know the whole story, and you probably know more than I know or am able to say because of our time restraints. But Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. It says that he had dreams with an S on it. He had multiple dreams. He had them so much that they were keeping him awake. He couldn't stay asleep because of these dreams. Have you ever had a recurring dream? One that you realize in that dream that I've dreamt this before. I have one, and I am really asking the Lord to lower the lights for me and just let me see. Let me see what God has for us. And it brings the attention. I want the Lord to turn the lights on to this particular thing. And I thank you so much for giving me that illustration and getting us back on track here. Okay, so I want to know what God's trying to tell me through this dream. So I continue to ask him. And so Nebuchadnezzar wanted to know what this dream was about that he kept having. Now, in this time of his dreaming, we know that what he was, he wanted to have the interpretation, but he wanted them to tell what was the dream, first of all. So he went to the sorcerers, he went to the soothsayers, he went to the Chaldeans, he went to the magicians and all of his smart guys. And so they came and stood before the king, and the king said to them, "I have a dream, and my spirit is anxious to know the dream. I want you to tell me what the dream was." And so the Chaldeans right away, they said, "Okay, tell us what the dream was. We'll be happy to tell you what it means." And he said, no, we're not going in that direction. I need to know that what you're going to tell me is really true. I need you to tell me the dream and then tell me the interpretation of it. Well, what? We can't do that. Nobody can do that. Well, just tell us the dream. Okay, just tell us the dream and we can deal with it. But you know what? I think that Nebuchadnezzar already knew, because we have it in our text. I don't just think it, we have it in our text. He knew that he had been being lied to, that all of these guys had canned responses to dreams. If you dreamt this, this is what it was about. If you dreamt this, this is what it was about. They were able to come up with an answer just like that when they were told a dream. They came up with an answer, not the answer. And so the king was very aware of that. And so he told them that his decision was firm. If you don't make, verse 5, if you do not make the dream known to me and its interpretation, what's going to happen? You're going to be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made an ash heap. But if you do tell me the dream, here's what I'll do for you. If you tell me the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts, rewards and great honor. Therefore, tell me the dream and its interpretation. All right, and they said, we can't do that. This is unheard of. You can't possibly expect us to do this. And the king says, I am certain that you would gain time. Just give us time. Just give us time to do this. You know, just tell us the dream. And the king knows that they're just biding time. They're trying to wear him down so that he will give them some hint of what this dream is. And he catches on very quickly. And if you don't make known this dream to me, there's only one decree for you. For you have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till this time, until the time has passed. And so the Chaldeans said, there's not a man on this earth that can answer this question for you. And he was absolutely right. There was not a man on this earth that could answer this question. They said, even the gods can't do this because the gods are not flesh. So yes, their gods cannot answer this question for them. And so he tells them, they say how difficult it is. For this reason, the king was angry and very furious and gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. That makes so much sense to me. I'm just saying, just get rid of them all because they've never done anything right. So the decree went out and they began killing the wise men. They began killing the wise men. They began the killing. It was already going on. And they sought Daniel and his companions for the purpose of killing them. And so when they went to Daniel, Daniel was very wise. It says his counsel. He went with counsel and wisdom, and he talked to Arioch. Arioch has just told him, we are to kill everyone, and it has to be right now. We have to do it. I'm going to kill you right now, he said. Yeah, it has to happen right now. And Daniel, remember that Daniel has gained honor by God, by the people there, and by the king. And so he has gotten a chance to speak what's on his heart, and he doesn't stop, and he doesn't hesitate, but he also doesn't say, look, this is not fair. You took me from my land at 14 years old. You left my parents back there. I don't know if I'm ever going to see them again. I'm not going to see my friends again. You brought me to this place. I had to spend 3 years learning all your stuff, and then I had to say answers that I don't even believe so that you would accept me into that place. And I don't believe those things to this day. You put me in the king's court in a place that I really don't want to be because he's not a believer and he's not Jewish. And here I am now, and my life is on the line. This is not fair. He could have responded that way. But who said life is fair? Life has never been fair. God is not fair. God is either judgment or righteousness. There's only those two ways. There's nothing about anything that's fair except the one that has all kinds of rides. That's the fair. That's the place. You go on the merry-go-round, you keep going round and round and round. That's what happens to us when we look at the fairness. We forget that we got to go on the roller coaster sometimes. That scary, that fun, that excitement, that terrifying. That's life. That's what life is like. And so that's where Daniel's at this particular moment. And so he says, what's the big deal? Why do you have to do it so quickly? And so Arioch told him what was the decision and what had happened. And so Daniel went in and he asked the king to give him time. So why did the king give him time but didn't give the other guys time? Because the other guys were trying to con him. The other guys were trying to get their way. They were trying to sneak a way in for him to say what his dream was so that they could give him some kind of an answer. But Daniel, in his wisdom that was a gift from God, asked the king to give him time. And the king gave him time. that he might tell the king the interpretation. And then Daniel went to his house, and he made the decision known to Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, his companions, that they were to go to prayer. They are to go to prayer. And you notice that they don't say in this prayer, they don't say, oh God, just give us direction here. Help me to know what I have. It says that they went to God to seek mercies. To seek mercies. You will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Seeking mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. They had an all-night prayer meeting. They were in there all together. There is something to be said about when we gather together to pray together. There is strength when we pray together. We uphold one another when we're praying together. We encourage one another when we're praying together. We hear different things from the Lord when we're praying together, and we share that with each other, and we are growing together, and we are making things happen because we came together. Forsaking not the fellowshipping of yourselves together ties right in with that. Pray. Invest that time in prayer together. He went right to the people that he knew that would stand with him. And what happened in the middle of the night? In the middle of the night, he gets the answer, and what does he do? He doesn't jump up from where he's at going, oh, let's go to the king, let's go to the king, let's let him know. I know exactly what I'm going to tell him. I've got the whole thing. I got it right now. He takes the time to thank God. He takes the time to thank God. And verse 20, he said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. Wisdom and might are God's. And he changes the times and the seasons. And I love this. He removes kings and raises up kings. He removes presidents and he raises up presidents. He removes governors and raises up governors. God knows what's going on. God is still in control. And God's got this. He gives wisdom to the wise. He's the one that gives them the wisdom and knowledge to those who have understanding. And what does he do? He reveals deep and secret things. And we're going to see later, as Daniel says, he has revealed these secret things. He is a God who reveals secrets. When I was reading that, I realize we're not just talking about he reveals the secret of this dream. God reveals secrets. Secrets here are not, they're not secret to God. The things that we've hidden and we think that they're hidden, God says, no, 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 I know about that. Thank you very much. And he deals with it in our lives if we let him. So he knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. So he shines the light on that darkness. I thank you and I praise you, O God of my fathers. You have gifted me, or given me, wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked of you. Ask and you shall receive. Ask and keep on asking. You will receive it, for you have made known to us the king's demand. And so Daniel goes to the king, and Arioch, of course, goes before him. And I love this, because Arioch goes in and goes, King, I found the guy. I just wanted you to know that I was the one. I found the one that can give you the dream and the interpretation, just in case there was any kind of reward or any part that, you know, you wanted to gift him of something. I just wanted to know, want you to know, it was my fault that he got here. So, and I just let him write it. Thank you very much for that. And so he goes in and he tells the king that particular thing. And so Daniel makes it known to him. And Daniel, in verse 27, The king says, can you give me the interpretation of my dream? And Daniel right away says, I know that the other guys could not do this. All of the other guys could not do this. But in verse 28, but there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. And he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar, he's made known to you, king, what will be in the latter days. That was a hint of what the dream was about. He knew at that point that he was going to give him the interpretation and the dream because he made this reference to what you are concerned about is your future. I get concerned about my future sometimes. I trust the Lord. I love the Lord. I know he has great plans for me, but sometimes I get worried. No, I get concerned. No, concern is the word. Not never worry, because the Bible tells us we're not to worry, so I get concerned about my future. But God is in control of my future. He's in control of my day. He's in control of the future that is ahead of me as well. So I wonder what happens with us when tribulation comes knocking at our door. When tribulation comes at our door, and not only comes at our door, it comes into our home. What are we going to do? Daniel was innocent of the charges, but he purposed in his heart that he would follow God. This is how a person of faith responds to crisis. It's been said that crisis does not make the man, crisis reveals the man of faith. Crisis does not make the man or woman, but crisis reveals the person of faith. So he doesn't panic. He's not in no desperation, no uncontrolled outbursts. The matter of trust has been settled in Daniel's heart. And I have to ask us, have you settled the matter of trust in your own heart? Have you settled the matter of trust in your own heart? Have you determined to trust him no matter what? Long ago, I gave my life to the Lord. Long ago, I gave my heart to the Lord. Everything of me belongs to him. Remember the heart, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. When I gave him my heart, I gave him my life. My life is entrusted to him. I know that he has me. I know that he has you if you have put your trust in him. And so those are things that you have to decide way ahead of time. And so with all of this that comes along, and so he goes in and he tells him, he says, your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these. As you, O king, thoughts came to your mind while you were on your bed of what would come to pass after this, so of your future. And he who reveals secrets has made known to you what will be. He who reveals secret, he's giving God the glory. God's getting the glory in this, not Daniel. And Daniel goes on to say, but as for me, this secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom. Not because I'm something special, not because I'm someone who has more, that's smarter than the, wiser than the other wise guys that you have, than anyone living, but for our sakes. Why? Because for our sakes, I have a purpose, and my purpose is to make sure that God's people continue on. That's why I'm here. And so I know that God's in control. It was for our sakes who make known the interpretation to the king, and that you may know the thoughts of your heart. That's a key thing, that you might know the thoughts of your heart. Again, we talked about guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The heart are the center of who we are. And then he said that he, as he was watching, he saw this great image, and it was excellent, stood before you. It was the form, it was awesome. The head was gold, the chest and arms of silver, the belly and thighs of bronze, legs of iron, feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were crushed together and became like chaff from the summer threshing floors. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Here's the dream. This is the dream. He says, I know that this is the dream. And now we're going to tell you in the interpretation. So I know that this is your dream. Now I'm going to tell you the interpretation. You, O king, are a king of kings. You are not the king of kings, but you are a king of kings. You are the head. And you notice in this that we're watching, you have on the front of your book, too. You see this statue. It was huge. It was absolutely huge that stood before him. And I want you to notice that the five materials that are spoken of in here decrease in weight, strength, and value as it goes from the top to the bottom. Now, I also know that in your homework, you also know what these different countries were, what these different nations were that took over, and what part of the statue they were. But the head, of course, was Nebuchadnezzar. It says right here, the head was Nebuchadnezzar. It does not say, some of the commentaries say, that the head was Babylon. That's not what this scripture says. This scripture says that the head was Nebuchadnezzar. It was under one head, just one head, one person in charge, one over all of it. It says that the chest and arms of silver, that was the Medo-Persians. Now, the Medo-Persians got together, they were connected through the chest, and they became one nation, and they took over from Babylon. They took over Babylon, turned it into a Medo-Persian nation. Okay, so the belly and the thighs were bronze, and that represents the Greeks. The Greeks came in, they went over the Medo-Persians, and the bronze is less and less, and the legs of iron were the Romans. And so you already know that from your homework. You've already filled that all in. So it was the Roman that were the legs of iron, feet partly of iron and partly of clay, were extensions of the legs. The stone cut out without hands struck the image on its feet of clay, iron and clay, and broke them in pieces. And I got to tell you, because of all of this information, it's like, I only want to know about this statue. I want to know everything about this statue. Why is we could take days talking about this statue and the different things. And you know what? I have a whole bunch of notes that gives me the time of those countries and the time that they took over, the however amount of time that they were there. And it all adds up just the way that God told him that it would. But I know that you have also studied that. And so because we don't have time to go into those details, we're just going to go briefly over it. So I was racking my brain. I was going, what do I need to say? What do I not say? How do I put this up? And I got to the very last one. And the very last one at the bottom, when it says that it mingles with the son of with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, so they will not get together, just as iron does not mix with clay. In verse 44, and in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. That goes together with the book of Revelation, by the way. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces, the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. And then he said, this is the dream. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. He was confident of that. This last part here, where it says this kingdom that shall not be destroyed, that was future. the end part of this. We are in the end part of this. We are the feet that they were talking about here. The parts of the feet are about to come. There's so many things in that of the 10 nations and of the who they are and what they are and what's going to happen and all of that. But the nation of God will take over. There will come a time when God will say, enough. And it will all be done away with. It will all be done away with. And now at this point, he's going to be speaking to the Jewish people pretty soon here. In chapter 8, he begins to speak to the Jewish people. All of this was in Aramaic. By the way, how come this dream was given to a pagan and not to Daniel? It was given to a pagan because if it was only given to Daniel, only the Jewish people would know it. But it had to be given to a pagan so that all people would know it, that all people would know what God is doing. This portion is in Aramaic. It was in the common language. And so all people would know what this is saying right here. And so because I was laboring over this, and what do I say, and how do I say it, and Bill came in, and he really helped me out because I went, I think my brain died. I just can't put two words together in my head as I'm trying to think through this thing. And so I would love to tell you where I got this thing, and as soon as I ask Bill where he got it when he gave it to me, I will let you know what this is, who this is taken from. The statue was heavy. It was unstable. It depicts the weaker and fragile nature of all human government. This whole statue has to do with human government. We are not good at governing ourselves. We need God. We need God to govern us. We need him to direct our lives. And so it is the fragile nature of our human governments. The stone cut without hands is the Messiah. And you have that in your homework, that it's the Messiah. It's not the church. It is the Messiah. Not the church. Psalm, and we can back that up. Psalm 118, verse 22. Isaiah 8, 14. Isaiah 28, 16. And Zechariah 3, 9. Also refer to Jesus as a stone. So the final superpower of the world is thought to be a revival of the Roman Empire, a continuation of this image. So as we go through this whole book, we're going to find even in chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 9, it's going to be a continuation of the explanation of what's happening with this statue. The kingdom shall be So the final superpower of the world is thought to be the revival of the Roman Empire, a continuation of this image. This will be the final world empire that the returning Jesus will conquer over. The kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. The final world empire will be according to the nature of clay mixed with iron. It doesn't mix at all. And by the way, you know what happens when you hit iron with a rock? It shatters. Gold does not shatter. Silver does not shatter. It just is this iron that is going to be totally destroyed. And with the clay mixed with the iron, it will have more the image of true strength than the substance of strength. It will have an image of strength without the substance of strength. Sounds a little familiar. It would have the image of strength, but it has no substance of strength. When I look at our government today and the government around the world, not just the United States, it looks strong, but the substance is not of strength. As a whole, the image accurately represented human power and empire. The image seems invincible, but it was actually unstable at its base. Without foundation, we will crumble. Without a solid foundation, we will crumble. Therefore, one blow to the foundation could topple the whole thing. Man does not do well governing themselves. God has got this, and he will bring our salvation through Jesus Christ, who will come again and set up his kingdom that shall be forever. You know, by chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar is building his own statue to be worshiped. By chapter 3. All of this has happened, and this is what the man does. And so they move on with all of that particular things that were going on. And so we move on to where, after he said the dream is certain and its interpretation is sure. That's confidence in God. And so King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face, prostrate before Daniel, and commanded that they should present an offering and an incense to him. The king answered Daniel and said, "Truly, your God is the God of gods." I recognize that your God has got something our gods don't have. God, he is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets. So he is confident of that, since you could reveal this secret. And then the king promoted Daniel. Who promoted Daniel first? God promoted Daniel first, and then men promoted Daniel and gave him many gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief administrator over the wise guys of Babylon. Also, Daniel petitioned the king, and he brought in his friends. This is important to see. He didn't get to the high places and just let his friends just stay where they were at. He was there because of their prayer time together. He was there because they stood with him. He would not let them down. And then it says that he would remain in the sat in the gate of the king. That means he was right there, always serving the king. He was ready for whatever the king had asked of him. And so God has got this. God has brought us into this place, and I know you wanted to know a whole lot more than I was able to tell you. I know that you want to know more details, and you're going to have to do that on your own. Dig into the Word of God and find out what those things mean to you and how they can change your life, and ask yourself this question: will I be a Daniel? Will I dare to stand alone? Will I be that Daniel? And so, Father, we thank you for your word, for your grace, Lord, for your goodness. You have filled us, Lord, to overflowing with the goodness of God. Lord Jesus, keep our eyes firmly set on you. And I pray, Father, that as we get into the small groups, Lord, that you would be glorified, that you would be lifted up as we pray together, as we laugh together, as we cry together, Lord, as we seek you together, as we get into your word together, Lord, that you would be honored and that you would be lifted up and you would be glorified just as Daniel did in this particular situation. And so we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus, we worship you for all you are. Father, we want to bow our whole life down. Spirit, invade the broken places in our hearts, the places in our hearts.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.
In the power of your name, I'm giving up, letting go.